Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week I bring on new guests to talk about, of course, UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight we're going to be talking about ghosts, specifically ghosts of Hollywood. Our guest tonight, her name is Marla Brooks, and she is a ghost researcher and author who has written a fascinating new book called Ghosts of Hollywood. I'm so excited to have her because this book, Ghosts of Hollywood, is actually published by Schiffer Books, which is my publisher as well. They've published a few of my books. So I kind of feel a special connection with Marla, and I'm just so excited because I actually live in this area, and I know that it is a very haunted place. So I'm very, very excited to hear about some of these interesting hauntings, hauntings of theaters or hotels, graveyards, amusement parks, whatever they may be. I'm telling you, Hollywood is one of the most haunted places in the United States. I'm not exactly sure why, but I'm hoping that Marla has some opinions about this. I'm sure she does. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So thank you all for joining us. And remember, if any of you would like to call in and ask a question of our guest, this is a call-in show. I'll give out the toll-free number right now. Get your pen, because here it comes. The number is 888-228-4494. I'll repeat it again. The number is 888-228-4494. And yes, Ghosts of Hollywood is what we're going to be talking about with Marla Brooks. Marla, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk with you for several reasons. I mean, not only because we share the same publisher, but ghosts are, I'm really, really passionate about this subject.
Mm-hmm, and you live close to Hollywood.
I do. I've visited several of these haunted places myself, and mm-hmm. as I'm sure you have. So, but before we actually get into the stories in your book, why don't you tell me and our listeners, you know, how you got into this subject? I mean, were you skeptical of ghosts growing up? Is it something you always believed in?
I always did believe in them. The houses that I grew up in all seemed to have something the matter with them. They all seemed to be haunted. When I was very young, the first house we lived in, I would get awakened. Oh, this is a great writer talk. I would wake up early in the morning and the bed would be shaking really violently. And yes, it's California, but no, we don't have earthquakes every day.
That's weird. You know, bed shaking is very, very common with ghost activity for some reason.
Yeah, and nobody believed me, but, you know, I knew it. And the second house we lived in also had a few resident spirits, and I just kind of grew up thinking that this was sort of the norm. Not that I saw anything, but I was just really drawn to it at a very early age. So I guess it all kind of fell into place as I got older and took more of an interest, more of an active interest in it.
Right.
And put on a ghost hunter's hat and went out and did some investigations and got the opportunity to write a series of books on the subject. So how perfect is that?
Oh, a series. Wow, how exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I've talked to several, well, many ghost researchers, and almost universally it seems that they have had experiences growing up. So
I think that's what it takes, you know. I don't think anybody can just all of a sudden go, boink, I believe in spirits, you know. Because I think any of us that do this, and you know this very well, you have to experience it to kind of believe it, to fall into it, to want to know more.
Right. You know, I saw a ghost and didn't believe it. I assumed I was hallucinating. So I wasn't on drugs. I've never hallucinated before or since. But I just couldn't believe it. Simply because
was it somebody you knew?
It was my mother. It was shortly after she died.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her in full color, a full-color apparition for several seconds at a very, very close range before
mm-hmm.
she kind of disappeared bit by bit and then was gone.
Wow.
That's what got me interested.
But That would get someone's attention, especially mom. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That was a great message, though. That was probably your kickstart into getting involved in this. She was just trying to tell you that there was more and go after it, sort of.
Yeah, I think she was, because I started having a lot of experiences after that as
it
well.
It seems like once you open up to it, things start flowing.
Yeah, I do think that that's true. It's interesting. I wonder what that is. I wonder if it's just becoming more open-minded and aware, or if there's some...
It is, and according to psychics and a couple that I know very well, they say once you start doing it, you kind of put out a beacon in a way, and you start attracting spirits to you and things like that. So I know that I was always a little bit afraid but very curious, and that didn't stop me from, you know, scaring myself silly when I was a kid reading all the ghost books and stuff. But there was still that little bit of a wall up there that was just like, uh-oh, you know. But as I started reading or started writing these books, it seems like things have opened up a great deal more.
Is Ghosts of Hollywood your first book?
My first ghost book.
Oh.
I've written several other books on other subjects, but definitely my first ghost book.
Is it your first paranormal book, so
yeah.
to speak?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. So that must have been a lot of fun for you.
Oh, it's great. It's like finding your niche, you know? I mean, you write all this other stuff, you love what you do, but then someone gives you the opportunity to write something that you're passionate about, and that's just perfect.
Right, and Schiffer Books, boy, they love ghost authors. They're trying to build, looks like a whole library of all the cities and places across the United States.
I know, in Harry Potter's fifth book, they have Dumbledore's army, and I think we're all going to be Schiffer's army pretty soon.
Well, I'm really glad about that, because I think people need to believe in ghosts, because they are real. I think the evidence is overwhelming, and
right.
It really changes your viewpoint about life and death, for that matter, when you start realizing.
Particularly about death, yeah.
Okay, so how did you go from just researching this stuff to actually deciding to write a book?
Well, I'd wanted to write one for quite a while about it, and just seeing that there just weren't people too involved. I mean, even though with the advent of all the TV shows and everything, you know, I sent out a couple of proposals and just didn't seem to match up. And then one day a friend of mine was contacted by Schiffer, or he contacted Schiffer about doing a book that he does. He runs the Graveline tours here, or Dearly Departed now. They used to be Graveline. And he came out and met with Dinah, who you know is our mother hen.
Right.
And she asked him when she was out here, she said, do you know anybody that could write a book about Ghosts of Hollywood? And my friend Scott said, absolutely. So he put me in touch with Dinah, and we started talking, and it kind of turned in from one book to two books to three books, because there's just a lot of spirits here in Hollywood. There's a lot to write about.
There really, really is. It's bizarre. I don't know if it's because we're so new agey here, or if it's really crowded, and I don't know exactly the reason.
Well, I don't know. You were mentioning before about, you know, Hollywood being so very haunted, and I'm not sure that we're more haunted than any place else, but we certainly have our share of more famous spirits than anywhere else.
Right, and I think we are a new age state, I mean, so to speak. Definitely it's more accepted here than, you know, more
right.
conservative eastern states, say.
Although I think it's spreading. I really do. You know, every time you turn on the TV, there's something about ghosts, and that didn't happen 10 years ago.
Right. Well, in England,
Halloween.
In England, everybody believes in ghosts. I mean, it's every other house is haunted there. So.
Yeah, but interestingly enough, and I found this talking. David Wells wrote the foreword to my book. Well, all my books actually. David is from Most Haunted. He's the psychic on Most Haunted. And we were talking about Most Haunted one day, and it seems that they can only do ghost shows on cable. They, you know, BBC and some of the major stations won't allow ghost shows.
Oh,
and which
bizarre.
Is really strange for a very haunted country.
It is strange, because the ghost shows here that are coming out are just amazing. The stuff they're getting on footage.
Oh, yeah. Ghost Hunters last night was fantastic, their new season. You know, Grant nearly fell over when he shined a light in the room and saw a face looking back at him.
It's shocking.
You know, it's always wonderful to see a ghost hunter get scared. I don't know. I kind of like that. he was, and I like to see David Wells running and screaming on Most Haunted. It just makes me feel more adequate, I think.
Well, I mean, I'm just so impressed when at the evidence that people are gathering, not only through, like, electronic voice phenomena, EVP,
mm-hmm.
but with the EMF detectors,
mm-hmm.
and you know, motion detectors, and
thermal imaging cameras.
Right. Technology is really bringing a whole new level to the study of spirit.
Oh, no, and it's so great. It just makes it easier, and, you know, some of those skeptics can raise their eyebrows a little bit harder because some of it is just kind of irrefutable. You know, it people say they may not call it ghost activity, but it is paranormal, and paranormal is something you can't explain out of the norm. So, you know, let some skeptics scratch their heads a little bit and say, all right, go figure that one out.
Ghosts of Hollywood. Okay, so what are some of the haunted places in Hollywood?
Every other street corner? No. well, some of the places that we've been to so far, and we're doing many, many more, the Formosa Cafe is very haunted, Yamashiro Restaurant, the Ricardo Montalban Theater, the Wax Museum is very, very active.
I've heard that, yes.
Yeah. That was actually one of our most active investigations with the most phenomenon. I mean, all of us had personal experiences, just absolutely crazy, and they get letters from people that come and visit, tourists that go home and get their film developed, the ones that aren't using digital cameras, and find orbs and all kinds of anomalies on the pictures that they take inside.
What do you think of this orb phenomenon? I mean, it seems like there's so much, I mean, so many photographs of this, and are these orbs, you know, your classic spirit? Are they people in just a round orb of light?
Well, I definitely believe they're energy, and I tend to believe that they are a spirit, and that it's kind of the nucleus of the manifestation. But I do believe their energy. I've seen so many, both on film and eyeball. And, you know, dust does not travel that way. There are pictures, obviously, that are dust and bugs and things like that. But I do think they're spirit energy.
You know, it's shocking when you see stuff like this. I remember I was with my sister-in-law, and we were attending a lecturer. And they were talking about something else entirely. But during the lecture, I suddenly saw this ball of light right near me, actually, just maybe 4 feet away, and it curved down towards the floor, towards me. And I was talking to my sister-in-law at the time, and it distracted me, and I looked at this ball of light. It was very small, you know, maybe a golf ball size or, you know, a jawbreaker. But it was very brilliant, brilliant white, and I couldn't believe my eyes, and so I just kind of discounted it, and it kind of disappeared into the floor, and my sister-in-law screamed out, "I saw that!" She saw it too.
Yeah, I mean, when they want to be seen, they definitely let you know. I saw 3 orbs, actually, at the Greystone Mansion, which is a very haunted old house here in town, in Beverly Hills, and I was looking in a window, and Greystone is in a park. And so there's no traffic and nothing, because I always try to find a logical explanation. I don't say that everything I see is paranormal or a ghost. But there was nothing out there to get a reflection, but there were 3 orbs in a dark room that just kind of, almost like the Blue Angels, because they were flying in formation as if on a mission. And they just flew across the room and did a couple of dips and flips and then, boom, gone.
How interesting. So you actually go to these places firsthand and do firsthand field research, not just armchair research, huh?
Mm-hmm. It, you know, because so many books have been written, you've probably read them all too, so many about that are just stories that are told. And you can send 10 researchers into the same spot and they'll all come out with a different story. And I think the variety is a good thing because everybody experiences different things. And so I just kind of wanted to write a book that not only give some first-hand things, although I do have stories about classic haunted houses here and the urban legends and all kinds of things that go on in town. But I also wanted to pick out some houses and locations that hadn't been written about before. And places like the Formosa Cafe or Yamashiro Restaurant, you don't read about them. They're not on all the websites about a haunted place.
No, I haven't heard that. Yeah, I mean, I've heard of, you know, the Hollywood Roosevelt and the other famous places, but...
Right. But I just thought, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And one evening I was having dinner at Formosa and the waitress came by and I said, you know, this may be an odd question, but do you think there are any ghosts around here? And she started telling me stories left and right, brought in one of the busboys who had had some personal experience.
Wow.
You know, I called up to Yamashiro Restaurant because my theory is if a place is haunted, if it has a lot of history, it should be haunted. So I just go ahead and I start cold calling places that I haven't heard are haunted, but 9 times out of 10, they not only have a ghost, but invite us to come visit and check it out. Yeah.
Well, have you found any patterns as to what types of places are haunted? Are they the older establishments, or is it the location? Or
not necessarily. I think because lots of times, like at the Knickerbocker Hotel, people have reported seeing a little boy and a little girl ghost there in the bar. Well, and logically, you know, you're not going to find a little boy and a little girl in a hotel bar. So my theory on that is that these were kids that used to either live on the property before it was a hotel, you know, back at the turn of the century or something. So it doesn't matter whether a building is old or new, because if there is spirit activity, it could be from 100 years ago. So we're not finding any particular patterns. We're just finding lots and lots of haunted places and a lot of spirits that want to make their presence known.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, what is your theory of ghosts? Because, I mean, the most popular theory, of course, is that they're just deceased people,
mm-hmm.
or animals, for that matter.
Right, exactly.
But there's a growing theory, which I think is increasing in popularity, is that ghosts are, like a residual type of echo, and that they're not actually there at all.
There are two theories on that. I mean, there are two types of haunting that I know about are active hauntings and residual hauntings. The difference is in a residual haunting, it's like a movie reel that plays over and over again. Somebody walks the same walk that they did in life. An active haunting is if you turn around and say something to the spirit, it will react to you. It might talk to you. It might say boo. You never know. But it recognizes that you're there. So I believe there's both those types of hauntings going on, because some of it is like place memory, which is the residual thing. There was so much emotion at that particular area that was left behind that this thing keeps repeating over and over again.
Right. You know, there's another theory I heard of, I think it's called like time slips, where people say that it's not actually ghosts you're looking at, you're just kind of peering back into time, which I guess would be similar to residual haunting, huh?
Sort of, and actually that kind of reminds me of Torchwood, you know, where that rift in time, things keep popping back and forth into the rift. I just think that, you know, where there's a lot of memory, all of us probably can see these things. Some people are a little bit more psychically developed and everything. So I think some people can kind of see something that somebody else wouldn't, and it could be very old and way back when. I'm not so sure about this time travel kind of thing, but but I'm sure, you know, you just don't know who's going to be where. I mean, if you think about it, practically every inch on the planet has had a death since the planet has been around.
Right, which is a long, long time.
Yeah, so I think just about everywhere is haunted, but I think some people have the sensitivity to pick up on it. Some that don't believe aren't going to, you know, pay any attention to it. But I think just about everywhere you go at some time or another, and more importantly, you could go to the same place 3 times, and one or two of the times you may not get anything, because I firmly believe that spirits have the free will to come and go as they want. So You know, you might want to go to your old grandmother's house and see if she's still there. Well, she might be busy that day, but she might be there another day because she can just come and go.
Right, right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and we're talking tonight with ghost researcher and author Marla Brooks, who has written a book called Ghosts of Hollywood, which has just been released by Shipper Books, a huge publisher of ghost books. Now, Marla, do you have a website, or where can people get a hold of this book?
I do. Well, they can get a hold of the book at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or the Shipper website, and most major bookstores are carrying it. And also, there's links on my website, which is www.hauntedwriter.com, and that should kind of take you anywhere you need to go.
Haunted Writer, so that's W-R-I-T-E-R, writer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hauntedwriter.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have a team of people you work with when you go and investigate these places?
I do. And I'm very lucky because I've got a team of people that are all kind of very individual in their own right. I'm working with a very good psychic by the name of Victoria Gross. Also, Barry Conrad, who is a paranormal researcher and famous for the San Pedro haunting back in the late 80s, where that poor man got hung up literally hung in the attic in the house they were investigating. And I'm also working with Scott Michaels, who is a Hollywood historian, and he's also doing dearly departed tours, and his website, findadeath.com, is really, really good. So I've got the historian, the psychic, the researcher. I mean, we're really lucky. I was very lucky to get in touch with all these people, and now we're this very homogenous team, and we go out and have a great time.
Wow. So what are some of your more exciting investigations? I mean, tell us a good scary ghost story.
A good scary ghost story. they're all around. Well, there's this scary in the sense, and so, you know, this is going to be an also controversial thing that some people believe in demons or lower entities, and
some people believe that
all spirits are human, you know. But Victoria Gross, who is our medium, she believes in lower entities and things. And we were over at Bordner's Bar, which is, it used to be a very hip bar. Celebrities used to go in there all the time, especially in the 40s and around that. And they have an alleyway, a covered alleyway, just on the side of the building. And we were walking down there because Victoria said she saw an image of, she saw a crouching image next to the dumpster down at the end of the alley.
Oh.
So I was walking down there, and I thought, well, good, let me take a picture, see if anything comes out. And it's a very long alley, and I got about halfway down. It was almost like somebody put up an invisible wall. I couldn't pass it. Oh. And I just kind of stood there for a minute, scratching my head, thinking, why can't I take another step? And I just didn't have that terror where you want to run away, but it was just like, don't come any closer. And she caught up with me, and she says, you know, that's a bottom feeder. She says, that's a very low entity down there, and you're right to not be able to cross. Don't go any closer. And she said, this is the type of entity that feeds on the energy of people, of things. Right next to the dumpster, right above it, actually, was an air conditioning unit. And she said, he feeds off that energy. And there was a gate onto the street that was closed, and she said he also feeds on negative energy of people that are walking by. And I thought that was pretty creepy scary. I don't like the negative, you know, the bad guys, so to speak. So that was a little bit scary. And then in the Wax Museum, we had a couple of things. We actually heard a voice, a woman's voice, not exactly moaning. I mean, it wasn't like the classic horror movie moan. But we heard kind of a grunty, moany thing. And then Scott and I were standing in one of the corridors completely alone. The rest of the team was off somewhere else. And we both heard footsteps walk right by us, right past us, and down the hall.
Oh, really? Wow.
And we just kind of stood there and looked at each other for a minute, and it was like, yeah, we did hear that, didn't we? And, you know, those things. And I actually got touched at the Wax Museum. Somebody grabbed my elbow, and then shortly thereafter, Victoria felt somebody squeeze her shoulder. And, you know, when that happens, that's really kind of neat in a way, you know, as long as you don't freak out and run away or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, actually having phenomenon like that, whether it's voice phenomenon or physical phenomenon or something, it's really rather amazing.
You know, it's funny, I've interviewed a lot of people who've seen UFOs as well, and a lot of these people who've seen UFOs have also seen ghosts, and it seems they're more afraid of ghosts than
aliens?
Yeah.
Wow. See, I'd be just the other way. You know, I mean, ghosts can scare you to a point, but an alien can abduct you. You know, I think I'd rather be scared than abducted, actually.
Well, I mean, you must be pretty brave to be going straight into these haunted places, because a lot of people I know just don't want anything to do with, you know, ghosts or at all, really.
Well, we go in, you know, one of the things that I keep preaching about, and I think I have to, is that people watch these TV shows, and they think they can go in and be a ghost hunter and do their thing. And you have to know what you're getting into, and you have to go in with someone that knows what they're doing. And you always have to use protection. You know, we always do that before we go into any of these places. Some people use a white light. Some people use the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is. I always call on my spirit guide to come with us and make sure that, you know, they keep the riffraff out, so to speak, because, you know, basically we were talking about ghosts being human spirits. Well, there's good and bad, and somebody that was an evil person in this life doesn't go across and grow wings and turn into an angel. They're still going to be a jerk on the other side. So you just kind of have to know what you're getting into. You have to protect yourself so you don't run into things like that. And that makes it a lot easier. And then also there's safety in numbers, right? We go as a team. Would I walk in someplace by myself that was known to be haunted? I don't think so.
Right. Well, you know, when people tell me they're scared of ghosts, I always want to remind them that, you know, for the most part, almost all ghosts are just people like you or me.
Exactly.
And you should be no more scared of them than you are of a person. But on the other hand, you know, having said that, I think a lot of the ghosts are people who have been overwhelmed by negativity, and that's why they're still a ghost and haven't
crossed
over.
Well, and the other thing, too, about that, sorry to interrupt you, but the other thing about that is that ghosts, spirits are attracted to people on the earth plane that have similar feelings. You know, a ghost that's walking around with a negative attitude is going to be attracted to a person who's walking around with a negative attitude. So you have to be very careful, because ghosts can attach themselves to you and wreak a little bit of havoc from time to time.
Well, what do you think about possession?
Possession can happen. I mean, it's not 1,000% common every day, but it can happen. If you're weak, you know, people that do a lot of drugs, do a lot of drinking, I mean, they're opening themselves up to possession, because, you know, here's a miserable person who's sitting there and just, you know, drinking their life away. And there's, well, Victoria talks about ghosts in bars. She calls them hitchhikers, because these are spirits that kind of miss the bar scene and miss the alcohol and stuff, and sometimes they do attach themselves to the people in the bars.
Right, right. There's a phrase called, or a saying called, hungry ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And those, I guess, are people who have not been able to overcome their attachment to the physical world and the cravings of alcohol or drugs or...
Or cigarettes, even, yeah.
Or sex or whatever.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah, there are a number of cases where people have been assaulted by ghosts.
Yes. Yes, and that's what makes me kind of angry about certain people, certain psychics that get up there on national television and say, "Oh, ghosts can't hurt you. Nah, don't even worry about it." You know, that's like psychic malpractice or something, I think.
Right, I totally agree with you that ghosts can, in fact, hurt you, but I think it's a really big deal for most ghosts to be able to manipulate the physical environment at all.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that that's true? I mean, how are they manipulating the environment?
Well, I know it takes a little bit of study when they're on the other side to kind of figure it out. one thing that I read years and years ago was that if you want to communicate with a spirit, their energy is runs at so much of a higher rate than ours that they kind of have to slow down their energy, and we need to kind of speed ours up and then meet in the middle.
Oh, interesting.
I think somebody that wants to come back can't just jump right back in and all of a sudden turn into a full-blown apparition. That's why you read some of these stories where people say, you know, they've been in an old haunted house and they see a pair of legs walking by, but the rest of the body's not there.
Huh.
And that's just a spirit that hasn't quite figured out how to do the whole full-blown effect.
Right. Now, here's something that's always really puzzled me is, you know, there's a very popular theory that many ghosts are people who aren't aware that they have died. Now, how can that be? I mean, how could you not be aware that you have died? What do you think about that theory?
I think that's true. I think in cases of, like, trauma, you know, like somebody being shot out of the blue, you know, not facing a gun, but, you know, like drive-by shootings or something when you're not expecting it, or all of a sudden in a car accident or something that just comes out of the blue. I think you can just pass over that quickly and still not realize it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that happens quite a bit. And that is the reason for some of the hauntings that seem to go on forever. And until you take a psychic in, a medium in, to see, because we don't make it a practice in our team to cross spirits over. But every so often you'll run into one that really needs to go, wants to go, but doesn't know how. And we've done a couple of those things, you know. Those that need help were there, you know. But they not necessarily didn't know they were gone, but for some reason needed to stick around for a while. Then once it got time to go, they just couldn't figure out how to do it, I suppose.
Right.
I was going to say we're all human, but that would be a terrible pun.
Okay, now here's a question for you. Now, in my research for my book, California Ghosts, I did a survey of all the people that I interviewed for the book, and I found out a shocking statistic, which was that twice as many women than men that I have interviewed, at least, have seen ghosts. And, you know, I don't know more women than men. I think it's pretty even. It's 50-50 with UFOs in my research, but not with ghosts. Have you noticed any pattern like that?
I noticed, well, out of the people that I know, actually it's the men that have seen more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I live in a house that's very, very active, and we have an older woman who likes to walk across the front bedroom from time to time. And my boyfriend has seen her three times and described her to a T. I've never seen her once. I've seen a shape walking through that wall, but I've never seen a full-blown apparition, but he's seen her three times. So,
well,
you know, and I'm supposed to be the one that's more psychic, right?
Huh. That's
maybe she's just shy.
Could be. They are normal people, after all, most of them.
Right.
Do you think there's non-human spirits as well, then?
You're talking about demons. Yeah, I'm afraid that there are, you know. I don't know if they're devil sent or they're just lower entities or something, because, you know, the word that comes to mind is phylum, which I heard Sylvia Brown say once, and it made sense. You know, like angels and guardian spirits, they're not always human. Well, angels are not human at all. So it could be like the reverse of an angel. It could be a negative entity.
Right.
I don't know if it comes from the bowels of hell or what, but I kind of think they're around.
Well, what about poltergeists? I mean, there seems to me there's quite a bit of evidence that at least it is in part explained by the presence of a disturbed person, often a teenager, who's suppressed their emotions and so on, and it's all come bursting out as psychokinetic blasts of some sort.
I definitely believe in that, but I also think that a poltergeist, because poltergeist means noisy ghost, I think there's some mischievous spirits that do things that can be considered poltergeist activity. You know, nobody's exactly said, well, this is Poltergeist and this is Mischief, you know. But I do agree that the thing about the teenage girls and people that are very emotionally whatever, that can also cause it because that's our own energy coming out.
Right. You know, in some of the cases that I've researched, I'd say actually a significant portion of them began when people started using the Ouija board, which
Ooh.
I have actually tried, but I did it with an experienced medium.
That's the only way to do it.
We were doing like, what do you call, table tipping,
mm-hmm.
lifting,
yeah.
Which was really dramatic, but kind of scary in some ways. And we did have some, I guess you'd call it psychic fallout, and we had to protect ourselves because,
right.
You know, like one time I was driving along after having attended one of these sessions, and I tell you, Marla, I don't think my family believes me when I've told them this, but my car was hit by a force, and it didn't completely spin, but it started being rocked and almost pushed off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it frightened me a little bit.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Are Ouija boards a good idea?
Ouija boards are no. Ouija boards are not good because you're opening a portal, and you're inviting anything in. And as Victoria says, you wouldn't invite somebody you didn't like into your house willingly. You know, you wouldn't let them in off the street as a human. Why invite them in spirit? Because actually
right.
They're harder to get rid of than an unwanted guest in the human form. Bam, you just grab by the collar and toss them out the door. Not so easy with a spirit that you don't want around. So, I tell people do not use a Ouija unless, like, in your case, you know, you're with somebody that could handle it. And, you know, we've used it once or twice on some of our investigations, but, you know, with Victoria and the protection and all that. But people that just think it's a parlor game, it's not. It's not.
Well, so let me see. Now, what are some of what would you say is like the most haunted place you've been to?
The Wax Museum was very, very, very haunted. Bordner's Bar has quite a few spirits around there, not only in bottles, but, you know, in ethereal form. The Ricardo Montalban Theater has one spirit that likes to go up on stage and kind of sort of perform a little bit for people. I mean, lots of people have seen that apparition there. I don't think we've actually been anywhere that hasn't had some sort of activity of some kind. We've got some really neat places coming up that I'm really anxious to go and see. But, you know, sometimes people expect to go on an investigation and something is always going to happen. Well, you know, 90% of the time it doesn't. You're just lucky when you run into something. So I think they all have their activity, and it just depends on what day you go there and who happens to be hanging around. But I would say of all of them to date, the Wax Museum has been the most active for us because, you know, we've had physical proof, we heard things, you know, all kinds of stuff there.
Right. Well, it seems to me, I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying, Beck, because there's a lot of haunted museums, and hotels as well seem to be really conducive to haunting, and theaters for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just these certain public locations, I guess.
And there's, you know, another thing that Victoria Gross says all the time, we were investigating, I think we were up at Yamashiro, and one of the people that works there came over to us, and we were just talking, and she said, you know, she goes, I've never seen a ghost. And Victoria just smiled, she says, how do you know? Because you could be walking in a crowd of people, how do you know that they're all living? Because some apparitions are full form, they're not wispy, vapory things. I mean, they look like you and I standing next to each other. So I love that of her saying, you know, how do you know? Because
that's
maybe
true.
We've all seen them and didn't know about it.
Isn't that fascinating? So there are many different ways ghosts can manifest, of course. I mean, with sounds and full apparitions and smells. But what are some mm-hmm. of the more unusual ways that you've uncovered of, you know, ghostly manifestations?
Well, I find the smells fascinating now that you mention it, because it's usually, you know, a smell that I find that it's a spirit that you knew so you can identify that smell. It's very clever that they know what will trigger it in your mind. You know, I think the shadows that you see sometimes, the things that you see out of the corner of your eye, things
right,
like
right.
that, is to me is always kind of fascinating, because you know you saw something, you know it wasn't your imagination, but yet, you know, I think everybody sees that and most people kind of blow it off. But the sounds particularly, I mean, EVPs still kind of give me the creeps, you know. It's just like, okay, there's your proof. Oh, my God, you know. But, I mean, they're just, some are even subtle ways, you know, they'll move something, you know, you'll walk away. I had a red pen on my desk the other day. I was working on some stuff, and I went outside with the dog, and I came back, and my boyfriend walked in from the front of the house, and he said, how did this end up in the TV in the den? Were you just in here? And I said, no, it was on my desk.
The pen?
Well, it just landed on the TV in the den. So, you know, there's various ways that they will make the presence known to you, and sometimes it's playful, and sometimes it's meaningful, and sometimes it's just kind of annoying when you lose something and you know you just had it there 2 seconds ago.
Right. So if you're understanding that spirits, for the most part, can see us better than we can see them and hear us?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the active ones, I guess, again, the residual energy things, no, they don't, whether they can or can't, but they don't seem to want to bother to pay attention to us. But yeah, they can. I mean, why do they appear to some people? Why do you hear certain things when, again, I go back to the things that you see on TV, like ghost hunters and stuff, why, if they didn't recognize our presence, how come they will respond to something you say or something you ask them to do? You know,
well,
knock on the wall 3 times, bang, bang, bang. Nobody else is there. You know, so obviously they're paying attention. Then sure, they can see us. They're
all
just
right.
in another dimension.
Well, here's another bizarre thing. I've uncovered several cases of this, and one case comes to mind where there was a suicide in this apartment, and one day the whole family was there, and the youngest child starts screaming, the man, there's a man in the doorway, the man. She was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
No one could see it, but
mm-hmm.
but she could see it clearly and could describe him. And so can a ghost appear to one person and not another?
Oh, definitely, and especially with kids. Kids, lots of those imaginary friends are actually spirits. I mean, not all of them, obviously. But kids and animals don't have a wall built up. They're not frightened of that because they're not old enough to have heard all the bad things, you know, ghosts are spooky and ghosts will hurt you and this and that. And so kids and animals are much more open to this stuff. And people in general that have, well, we're all psychic to some degree, but some people that are more developed can see something that somebody else cannot. And I don't think it's that they appear on purpose to one person, not another. I think it's just the person that, when they decide to manifest, that has the better capacity to see, you know,
right.
the third eye to see, rather than some people. Because a skeptic, you know, honestly, if a full-blown apparition walked up nose-to-nose with a skeptic, the skeptic would still find a reason that it wasn't a ghost, you know. But
yep.
if if you're open to it and comfortable with it, you do see things. Not that they're trying to single you out necessarily.
It's a delight speaking with you. I mean, I can tell you know a lot about this subject and have investigated it firsthand. So I'm going to ask you a tough question, which has always puzzled me, and I think puzzles a lot of of today's leading ghost researchers, which
mm-hmm.
is the fact that ghosts aren't just human, and there are many cases where ghosts have appeared in vehicles or riding
mm-hmm.
horses or
mm-hmm.
even in ships or planes, for that matter. Ghostly buildings. How would you explain the mechanism behind that? I mean, buildings don't have emotions necessarily, or, you know, cars, I'm saying.
You mean the fact that they can just appear wherever they want and people see them in different places? Or?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's one case which is occurring at Lookout Mountain at Laurel Canyon where people see a phantom stagecoach.
Right. I've got that in my book, that story.
So, I mean, how does that happen? A stagecoach?
I'm kind of thinking that that particular story is residual energy. I really think that's kind of a playback thing. So lots of these things that you would see like that, you know, where something keeps reappearing, either a day of the week or a time of the year, you know, you see something, you know that if you go on July 17th to a certain location, usually there's something going on there. That's kind of a residual thing. But as far as spirits, active spirits going on a plane or sitting in a car with you or, you know, an airplane, again, they've got free will. They can come and go as they please. And if they want to get on the flight to Acapulco, they go. You know, not that they need to, but it might be fun to do it.
Well, why don't ghosts appear naked? I mean, are they manifesting these clothes on them? Or I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Well, you don't die naked. I mean, I know you're born naked, but you know, I'm sure there's modesty in the paranormal realm as there is in ours. You know, people just you don't want to. Well, maybe there are some ghosts that walk around doing the full Monty. I don't know, but you know, just as with humans, and we're considering that these spirits were humans. They didn't walk around naked during life, so why would they now?
Right. Well, you know, our time is pretty much up, Marla, but it's been a delight talking with you. Do you want to give out your website again?
Yeah, it's www.hauntedwriter.com.
Okay, now is there any last words you want to give our listeners? We still have, you know, a couple minutes, but...
Yeah, read the book. No, I think, you know, there's so many people that don't believe in spirits, don't believe in ghosts, and I'm not one, and I'm sure you're not either, to try and force that down somebody's throat. Yes, there is a paranormal. Yes, there are ghosts. But I just kind of, my plea, I think, to people in general is to keep an open mind. You know, skeptics,
exactly.
I just don't like anything that, there's always gray. Not everything is black and white. So I think if people had more of an open mind about that, it might just make the world a little bit better rather than saying, nope, you know, naysayers. I just don't have any time for that. But sometimes opening yourself up to these things, it's kind of a very spiritual, nice, experience, and especially people that get in touch with their spirit guides. That, to me, is really important, that we need to be in touch with our guides. We need to acknowledge them and thank them, you know, whatever. And I think when you start to get in touch with your guides, I think it makes you kind of a more serene person, a happier person.
Right.
Some people will probably say, that's crazy, she's talking to nobody. But... You know, I think that they're there for us, and when we need them, they're there, and I always encourage people to get to know their guides.
All right. No, these are all great words of wisdom. I hope people are taking them to heart. Well, I guess the last thing I want to ask you is, you know, what are some of your upcoming projects? Can you give us a little teaser about the series of books you're writing?
Yeah, book two, it should be out around Halloween. How appropriate is that? it's called Ghosts of Hollywood also. The first book is Ghosts of Hollywood, The Show Still Goes On. The second book is Ghosts of Hollywood, Talking to Spirits. And it's a book of seances, some that we've done, some that some famous psychics have done and shared with me. And the third book is in progress, and it's another Ghosts of Hollywood, and I just haven't figured out a subtitle yet. But we're going to some really neat places. We've got next month we're going to Gary Cooper's old house in Holmby Hills, the house that he died in. We'll be doing an investigation there. And a couple of other really neat places that we've kind of figured out. So, yeah, I'm always up for looking at new things and writing more books. And fortunately, we have plenty to write about here in Hollywood.
Well, Marla, it's been great speaking with you. I want to thank you again for coming on to the show.
Oh, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, hopefully I can have you on again in maybe October when your book comes out.
That'll be great. I'll be happy to.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty much our show. tonight, so I want to thank everyone for listening. We've been speaking with Marla Brooks, who has written a book called Ghosts of Hollywood. The show still goes on. Is that right?
Yep, that's it.
And if you'd like to learn more about this book and Marla's research, you can visit her website, which is www.hauntedwriter.com. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks again, Marla. It's been great, and we'll talk soon.
All right. You take care. Thanks again.
You too. Well, everyone, that is our show tonight. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again to Seth and Don and all the gang at BBS Radio for allowing this all to happen, and I will speak with you next week when I will bring on another exciting guest to discuss UFOs and the paranormal. Till then, have a wonderful evening.